And now, you're tuned into RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
This is the RBLR Rays podcast. I am Zach, he is Pat, and Pat, what a 2 weeks of Rays baseball. I feel like I've said that multiple times over the course of the season so far, which is crazy, but I mean, what a heater this team is on right now.
Whew. So we went on the pod last week. We were on the IL, you know, rested our arm, making sure that we don't exceed our innings limit for the season. But since we have been off for 2 weeks, we have lost two games. And even then, like, we have played, we are, what is it? Like 13-2 in our last 15 games. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable heater. 13-2. That is like unbelievable pace. We are talking about, Mr. Dab, we are talking about, if we're going to throw respect on their name, the American League leading Tampa Bay Rays. Not just any Tampa Bay Rays. We're talking about the current top of the American League. And we've not been able to say that for about 3 years. So. Yeah. This is a big deal. Even though it's only May, there's still plenty of baseball still to be played. This team is really, really good.
Yeah, and by the
out of their minds.
Yeah, and by the way, we are number one because we are tied in record with the Yankees. But we are number one because we kind of cleaned their clocks earlier this season. We did the Yankees. And so whatever else you want to say about this team, we struggled against maybe the best division in baseball in the National League, but against the top line talent in the American League, this team has shown up. And so we're going to talk about it more during this episode, but there are certainly things you can look at and say, maybe this won't continue all season long, but there's a lot of things that are within the identity of this team that will continue that are contributing to success. And we're going to break it down for you guys. And we are so glad that you are joining us here on this beautiful pregame show before the finale of the Red Sox series. We hope if this is your first time joining us, you enjoy the show. If you are returning to the show, thanks for coming back. If you got thoughts on what we're going to talk about today, which I'm sure you do if you're a Rays fan, how can you not have thoughts about how awesome this team is? Head on over to YouTube. Drop us a comment. We'd love to hear from you guys. Join the conversation with us. Love to hear your thoughts. And while you're over there, if you would do us a huge favor, drop a subscribe or wherever you're watching us on, drop a follow. Helps us out a bunch. It's free. Just helps us out so much. So appreciate you guys. But we're going to jump right into it because we got a lot to talk about because the Rays were on a 7-game win streak up until a loss in the second game of the Red Sox series. And the way that they were winning these games, like, because the offense has not been like destroying teams, but they have all felt dominating because of how good the pitching staff has been.
Oh yeah, that's been the story. Like, the Rays are good. Why? It's because we pitch. And this is, as a Rays fan, I think music to our ears.
Yes.
The pitching has been so elite because this feels like what the Rays are supposed to do when they win games. Like, we're not supposed to be a kind of slugfest kind of team. We're a pitch you to death, and we are doing that. I mean, the big stat is 13 games in a row that took place where we gave up 3 runs or less.
Mm-hmm.
The last 5 teams, I think it was something like out of the last 4 teams to do it, 2 of them won the World Series.
Yeah.
To go on a streak of that long. Unfortunately, the Red Sox ruined it by scoring 4 runs on Friday night. Ugh. But we then only allowed 2 runs in the loss on Saturday. So, on Thursday they scored 4, Friday. But yeah, we have been pitching out of our minds and it's been a full staff effort. I don't think there's been a single weak performance because to give up less than 3 runs, it has to be a full staff performance to do it for that long. You can't just rely on Rasmussen or Shane or even Nick Martinez, just came out of the woodwork. They don't pitch every inning of every game. We've had to see, you know, really strong performances from Jesse Schaltens, from Kevin Kelly, Cole Sulser, like pretty much everyone, even Legumina has pitched in. Like, every single member of that Rays team has been pitching out of their mind. And I'm going to tell you a fun stat, okay? And it's about the Rays pitching, and it's about win probability added. Okay. So every event in a baseball game, for people that aren't familiar with this stat, every event in a baseball game that happens is given a numerical value of how like much that is added to your chance of winning a game. Mm-hmm. So for example, if you're a walk-off hit is a 100 win probability added. Mm. It's a one
right.
win probability added.
Right.
Because it wins you the game there and there.
Sure.
But every single action does this. The Rays lead all of baseball in cumulative win probability added from their pitching staff. Wow. And that comes through doing the big things in the big moments.
Yeah.
Whenever they need an out, they're getting it. And we can dig deeper into how that's happening, I guess, a bit more. In terms of what they're doing. But for me, it's all about the soft contact. They are getting so much soft contact. That's what matters to me anyway. They're not a big strikeout staff mm-hmm. at all. And yeah, it's been huge for how well they've kind of given up got hard contact. Now, I will say that their BABIP is really, really low. As a team,
yeah.
BABIP allowed, really, really low. That feels like we might see some regression there at some point. There might be a point where we get unlucky BABIP, right? But it's just been quality at-bats, not walking guys, limiting hard contact, and you know, locking in when it matters. We've seen no blow-ups from anyone, and that's been the reason why we're winning. Because if you're giving up one or two runs a game, you're in every game.
Yeah, and I think the part of this that I want to highlight a little bit, because we talked about it a good bit at the beginning of the year in a very concerned sense, was the bullpen. You know, there was obviously not a number one guy when you lose Uceda and Clevinger, at least the way that's what we thought. We started to see the emergence of Brian Baker. He has really like set himself apart over the past 2 weeks, and really from like middle of April on, he's just been absolutely lights out. And so when we look at the bullpen, though, it's not just been him. And you mentioned it talking about the full team effort over this win streak for the Rays, kind of starting from the beginning of the month of May until now. The Rays have the lowest bullpen ERA in baseball. They have the lowest bullpen FIP in baseball. They have the lowest walk percentage in baseball as a bullpen. And that, you know, that shows that this team is not only like that, you can just see the results that they're doing the right, that they're getting great results. But if you are walking a bunch of guys and you just happen to be getting great batted ball events, that's a little bit concerning. They're not walking guys. They're not putting guys on for free. The strikeout percentage definitely isn't going to blow anybody away. And, you know, that's just kind of how the Rays have decided to do business, because if they feel like their defense is good enough to hold up as long as you're not putting guys on base for free. And that is kind of what this Rays team has been doing so well over these last, over the last like 10 or so days in this huge 7-game win streak. And that is what, to me, signals that this team is capable of sustaining this long term. Because if you are controlling the things you can control, which is not putting guys on base for free, playing to the strength of your team with your, you know, with a defense that is much improved since the beginning of the year, they've really kind of locked in after a rough start to the year. That is how you have sustained success. The fact that they have a low BABIP is, again, certainly there is some good luck involved there, but it's also by design. We do not have a staff that is crazy strikeout numbers across the board. We have a staff that is pitching to, like you said, pitching to soft contact. This is by design. That's kind of what I want to get at here, when we're talking about how good this Rays team has been and what we can project forward with them, is the things that we are doing well, they are what the team is designed for. right? And that is what gives me confidence that they can continue this. Because if, you know, we saw a huge offensive explosion at the beginning of the year. If that had sort of continued until now, I would even have a little bit more apprehension. If the pitching was still kind of not very good, but the offense just blowing it out of the water, I feel like offense is something that you can lose that throughout the season. And they kind of have. The offense has kind of regressed back to more what we expected. But what has come the other way is the pitching has gotten to the level that we expected at the beginning of the year and even exceeded that. And they're doing it by pitching within the framework that the team has set up for success, which is don't walk guys, pitch to soft contact, use your, you know, all the starters that we have good stuff. They can get strikeouts when they need it, but they also know how to pitch to soft contact and get outs. And it really has been a whole team effort. It's been a real next man up mentality because we are still missing some of the key guys to this bullpen, but the guys that have come in behind have stepped up, and it's allowed for a lull in offensive firepower to be sustained with winning because of how well the pitching staff is pitching and because they're doing it the way that they want to be doing it. And so as a Rays fan, I just feel like this can continue. This is not just a flash in the pan. Like, certainly maybe we will come back down and it won't be a 7-game lead on the rest of the American League for, you know, forever. But I believe the way this team is playing, we can be competing for the division the whole way through if they pitch like this, if they limit walks, if they pitch to soft contact. And frankly, getting Shane back to where he is, we have seen him in the past, is a huge part of that. And I could not be more excited with seeing his progression. And obviously the Nick Martinez addition, you know, acquisition has been a huge success. Matt's before he got hurt had been a huge success. We will have to weather the storm a little bit with some injuries. It does seem like some of those guys will come back sooner than later. So it's not we're not like dead because those guys are not going to come back. But this team is built to succeed long term, guys. I really do not think this is a flash in the pan. You know, like last year we had kind of a month of like real success, and there were some things that we were like, well, I hope this keeps going, but it could be a little bit. I feel like this team is built based on the way they perform so far. They are performing the way they were built to perform, and they're actually hitting the expectations that were set up for them. And frankly, the rest of the American League is not very good. And so the level that we're playing at, we can continue to succeed.
Yeah, loads of points there. Many, many good ones. I want to, yeah, the not walking guys is the biggest one. The yeah. Rays have put a focus on that for probably this decade so far.
Yeah.
Of the just don't hurt yourself. Whatever you do, don't hurt yourself. They have stayed away from those kind of high upside, but like might completely lose it type arms. They've really veered away from those, like, you know, the likes of, say, Sir Anthony Dominguez, or who was that Blue Jays guy? What's he called? The Blue Jays closer, not Merriweather, the other one.
There was a guy.
Romano, yeah.
Yeah.
He's one of those, like, the high stuff kind of, but can completely lose it. And when he loses it, it's gone. Type guys,
the Rays do not. Diego Castillo.
Alvarado, yeah. Like those guys, even Fairbanks had times like that.
Yeah.
They are just like absolutely not for any of those. Which is, I think, super important that they're like, let's control what we can control and make the other team beat us.
Yeah.
We are really low in line drives given up, by the way, as well. We basically, it's the Yank in the American League, it's us and the Yankees. We just don't give up line drives,
and line drives are what kill you even more than home runs. A lot of times you can absorb a home run or two, but if you're just giving up line drives, that's doubles, that's hard singles, that's hard to overcome.
And we talk about low BABIP.
Yeah,
a BABIP on a line drive, your best BABIP.
Correct.
That you can get.
Correct.
So the fact that you keep those to a minimum and, you know, either induce soft contact via fly ball or ground ball, that's what you need to do. And even if it is a hard contact, if it's a ground hard contact ground ball, just ask Junior Caminero and his ground into double play record. Yeah. Hitting a ball, a hard hit ground ball is nowhere near as effective as hitting a hard hit line drive. So the hard hit fly balls, they can be a bit scary. But again, we've got a really good defense behind us as well to kind of weather those storms. It's almost with line drives, you can't defend those really. You've just got to hope they're right at a guy. But everything else can, you know, fly balls, ground balls, they can be defended. So all really great points. With the hitting, it's an interesting, wasn't it? Because the approach has been super clear pretty much since the start of the season. That it's don't strike out. Yeah. We have one of the lowest strikeout rates. Get the ball in play and utilize athleticism. What I think is super interesting, the Rays pull the ball the least of any team in baseball. We have the lowest pull rate. We have by far the highest opposite field rate and up the middle rate in baseball. We are just giving up on pulling fly balls, which is really interesting because it felt like they went through a little bit of a pulled fly ball revolution for a bit with like Paredes. And now they've given up and said, no, we're going to start slapping the ball now.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a sustainable approach?
I think it is because, again, we've talked about this a couple of times now. The other thing that comes with pulling the ball, at least in my – just, again, just my – this is sort of eye test, sort of analytical. I feel like a lot of fly ball, like pulled ball hitters, because what you're trying to do is you're trying to pull it and hit it for power, you're going to strike out a good bit. And we had in previous years some serious strikeout issues that I think put a ceiling a little bit on what we could do offensively. The other number to talk about with the Rays over this period that I think is worth noting from an offensive perspective is the strikeout percentage. It's the fourth lowest in baseball over this period. So we're not hitting for a ton of power. The slugging percentage is near the bottom. It's not terrible. It's like 21st, but it's not great. And none of the other offensive numbers look very good, except for we are not striking out. We are forcing the issue. And what is the thing you hear? And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. What's the number one thing you hear from youth baseball coaches, from scouts across baseball? What's the number one thing you hear about guys coming up?
You hear about their like contact rates, right?
You can't play defense. That's what I was fishing for. They struggle with the fundamentals. I should mention better. The struggle with the fundamentals of defense. They don't know how to position themselves. They're not making the right play. The baseball IQ is low. It's what we hear about a lot. And so the Rays have clearly decided we're going to go right at that. We're going to say that we're going to call your bluff. That you're not going to be able to get to the ball. You're not going to make the right play. There's going to be enough hesitation to allow the speed to kill.
And to add on to that,
that's what the Rays have done.
Yeah, to add on to that, particularly with bunt defense.
Yes.
Nobody practices bunt defense anymore. They might start now, but like I guarantee in spring, barely any time was spent on bunt defense because I'd say 2018, 2019, most kind of baseball people were declaring the bunt dead.
Yeah.
Like, I remember there was a big deal made about the Astros when they were in their prime. They literally never bunted at all, like at any point. No sacrifices, no bunt for hit attempts, just zero bunting at all because they considered it like a really low, low percentage outcome of success strategy. They were like, bunting doesn't do anything, doesn't do enough. So the Rays were like, if we can get really good at bunting, which I think we are really good at bunting, mix that with players that are really fast, like Simpson, like Williamson, like Mullins. And then everyone's like, oh, well, the bunt's dead, so we're not going to practice how to field bunts. All of a sudden, people are like, ah, this guy's really fast. I've got to make a decision really fast, make this play really fast that I never do.
Right.
And it's causing complete chaos. Absolute complete chaos. And that is an interesting like way to kind of describe, because sometimes people dilute the Rays into like spreadsheet baseball team, right? Where like everything's death by numbers, death by probabilities. But this is like a creative, like, well, nobody's doing this, so we're just going to throw them off by doing the thing that nobody else does.
Right. And the other part of it is, I think we would say over this period, the Rays have not been great offensively. That being said, they are number 11 in baseball and on base percentage over that period of time. They're number 5 in batting average. So the power is not there, but they are getting on base over a third of the time. They are, you know, when they are making contact with the ball, they are finding ways to get on base. And that is the strategy for this team. And they believe that that is going to be able to carry them through the rest of the season. And they're going to force teams to prove them wrong. And if they need to pivot, I don't know what that would look like for this team. I don't know if somehow the league figures them out. That would definitely, we would be in a bad spot if they somehow figured it out. But I don't think the league can just turn the ship on playing better defense, on being better situationally. Like, that's not something you just fix midseason.
Like, when do you practice bunt defense if not in spring training?
Correct. When do you practice relays? When do you practice like baseball IQ type situations where you have to think, okay, we've got so many runners on base, where do I go with the ball? That sort of thing. And so the Rays have said, you guys missed your window there, we're going to take advantage of it. And like, will this be like, you know, is it possible that next year, like, we could see teams try to adjust to this? Maybe. But for this season, this team is built to take advantage of it, and that's what they're going to keep doing. And when you look across the rest of the teams in the American League, you don't see a bunch of teams with elite defenses. You see a lot of teams with a couple of guys that hit for power and a couple other, you know, okay guys and some okay pitching staffs. And the Rays have built themselves on, we got basically two guys that are going to hit for power, maybe three if you count Yandy. The rest of them are going to be getting on base, and we're going to pitch. And we're going to force you to make great plays and to go, you know, bar for bar with us pitching. And if you can't do that, you're going to lose.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's just like, you got to make sure the Rays do not score 4 runs.
Yeah.
You better not. You better not allow 4 runs or it's over for you. It's great. And I think the formula for the Rays always has to be, can you have 4 good hitters and then pitch your way through the rest?
Yep.
And that's what they have, a top to bottom good pitching staff. And it's good to feel vindicated, doesn't it? Because I think, you know, the bullpen was not good at the start of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of said, it's going to come good, like this will happen. And they have come good.
They have.
So it's always good to just not freak out about this kind of thing and let things play out.
And you made a good point about don't let the Rays score 4 runs. The Rays have only lost 4 games when they've scored 4 or more runs. And 2 of those were the first 2 games of the season.
Right.
Since those first 2 games, we've lost 2 games when the team has scored 4 or more runs. That's it.
Yeah. And that's all, you know, 4 runs feels like an achievable number in any given game.
Yeah. And so the question now becomes, can the Rays continue to pitch at this level while also dealing with the injuries? Because that is the one thing that could derail this season, is do we end up leaning too heavily on the bullpen because we have too many injuries to the starting pitching staff? And I think it's too early to know that. The good thing is, like, even though we have had to lean on the bullpen a decent amount, we've been able to keep it to only 150 innings pitched by the bullpen so far, which is good for 15th in baseball. And that's thanks in large part to guys like Nick Martinez, who've been able to go long, that have allowed us to, you know, save some bullets there. So we haven't leaned on them too heavily yet, but now we're starting to get into the, you know, we're starting to talk about Jesse Schulten's being like a regular starter long term, because we at the moment we're down quite a bit. We're talking about Griffin Jacks. Like, that's one thing to talk about. We haven't talked about the fact that Griffin Jacks is now in the rotation. Like, we last time we spoke about it, it was like maybe they're gonna. He's in the rotation now. He is right there in the rotation.
And it'll be interesting to see. Jackson Charlton's now become super important parts of this team.
Yeah,
like super important, because they need to be able to eat some quality innings because of the likes of Boyle and Pepio being out. And it's going to be interesting to see if Jax can transition into a starter. I think he can do it. And the Rays have a really good track record with this kind of thing, of picking out relievers that are struggling and turning them into good starters. They did it with Springs. They've done it with Rasmussen. They did it with Littell. When they pick you, and they don't do this lightly when they pick you for this kind of thing. They're doing it with Mason Englert as well.
And it makes a lot more sense when you look at the acquisition of Griffin Jacks, that this was their plan all along. Mm-hmm. It seems to make a lot more sense.
Agree. And I could totally see, I think his, because he's a repertoire type pitcher where he throws lots of different pitches more than like a stuff guy.
Yeah.
So I could see it working, and I trust the Rays to make it work.
Yeah. Well, and they're going to have to, because we were not here when this was kind of went official. Pepio is done for the year.
Yeah.
Hip surgery. So now we will get back Steven Matz and Joe Boyle. But Boyle was a question mark anyway. We weren't even sure if he was going to start that much at the major league level. We didn't know to start the year. But now he's going to have to, most likely. And, you know, Matt's, we're hoping it's, you know, the hope was that the elbow inflammation was not as bad as it sounded. It doesn't seem like it's been that bad. They seem pretty, they seem not too nervous about it, and that he should be back sooner than later. So we hope that's the case. Because, like, Jesse Schultz has been great, I have to say. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, like, you always wonder with guys that are sort of not very well known and they get a chance and they have a hot start, you sort of start to see teams figure them out. About 5 to 6 starts in, the league starts to figure them out a little bit. So I would much rather get back a guy like Boyle or Matz before the league figures Schultz out. And allow Schultz to maybe either go back down to AAA or go to the bullpen and be a long guy. I think either is fine. But I am, like, that's kind of my number one question going forward is, are we now in the market for a starting pitcher, given the fact that Pepio is out? Is that now a priority at the deadline?
Yes, I think so. It depends how the question is, you say at the deadline, how soon do you want to act?
Yeah.
The Rays could act sooner than the deadline. And I would argue they should act sooner than the deadline. The sooner you can save your bullpen, that's going to buy you wins later. You know what I mean? We don't want to be having a bullpen meltdown in August where all our guys are just dead because they're absolutely worn out. So I want to say, if you can, we should. And there's been a lot of talk about the Rays potentially being aggressive this deadline. We've got a lot of prospects that are Rule 5 eligible at the end of the season, which I think is super interesting. And even MLB Network were suggesting that the Rays are going to be aggressive at the deadline. A starting pitcher has to be number one need, I think. They don't have to be a top of the line guy, but a dependable innings eater will do me. Do you think the Rays will be in the market for any bat? And if so, where?
So I do think it's going to be a consideration for them, because I think, especially if they continue to play as well as they've played so far, I don't know how you can watch that and then say, we don't need to make any, like, let's just run it, because we can clearly see the offense has holes in the outfield. And so I feel like it should be a real conversation about trying to make a change and trying to bring in some talent there. I kind of wonder, and this is my question kind of back to you. If we are saying we've got these Rule 5 guys, we've got a lot of really high-performing prospects right now that we could probably get some decent value for if we traded them now at the peak of their value, would you rather spend that capital like to get a top-end starter or a top-end bat? And a top-end being like what top-end of what's available at the trade deadline. Where would you rather spend the capital?
Pitching.
Really?
Yeah. I'm just like concerned about if we can't replace, like if Boyle, what if Boyle has complications?
Yeah.
I would prefer the pitcher just because you're always going to need more. You are always going to need more. So I am leaning towards that. I think we've got enough in terms of bats. I don't think this might be an unpopular opinion. I think Cedric Mullins will be fine.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think Cedric Mullins will be fine. I think he, you know, unfortunately he's got off to so bad a start that his season numbers will look a little down anyway, but I think he'll come back around. All of his swing decisions remain pretty much consistent with last year, with his past few years in terms of his chase rate, his in-sort of swing percentage. I think he's been getting a little unlucky. I think he'll come around and be okay. I don't think he's going to be the all-star that he was in like 2021 or 22 or whatever, but I think he'll come around and be serviceable.
Yeah. I guess my perspective is maybe not for this year, but like, I just look at the like how good the pitching farm is for the Rays right now. And I'm saying to myself, if we have an opportunity to make a move, I would rather support the offense because I am more confident in the farm's ability to affect the starting pitching staff next year than I am the farm's ability to affect like the starting outfield. You know what I mean? Like Brody Hopkins is probably not going to be ready this year because as good as he has looked, that dude has got to figure out how not to walk people. Sitting at a crisp, I think it's like, what was it? I looked it up earlier. It's like a 7 walks per 9 or something like hurt, like truly catastrophically bad. And so he's got to figure that out, but the stuff is there and I think he will figure it out eventually. But you've also got like a Ty Johnson that's down there, Logan Workman. Like there's just a lot of guys that are down there that I think will have, and that's only in AAA. Not even talking about, you know, maybe, you know, one of the best, you know, pitching prospects going right now is Michael Ferrer, who has been excellent this year. And, you know, he's only 22 years old. So he's going to be maybe not next year, but maybe the year after. And so I just feel like if we're going to make a move, we should make a move to help the offense and help Junior Caminero, who just hit a home run in the first inning of the Red Sox game, which, you know, has just started right now, starting off that series well, or that last game well.
Oh, I've totally missed that. That's exciting. The Junior Caminero's just hit a home run. Love that for him. But okay, I think it's interesting. I think either way, I think, you know, the Rays don't like fishing in the rental market.
Yeah.
Most of the time. So I guess like, because if it's a rental, then I'm not too bothered about them blocking the farm or anything like that.
Yeah. Well, and this is definitely a conversation we'll have more as we get closer to the deadline. A lot of time to have this conversation, but I do think that it's worth noting that I think we will have to make some kind of a move.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Gavin Lux due to come back any second. Mm-hmm. I think the only reason he'll get called up pretty much immediately after this Red Sox series.
Yeah.
I think we are scheduled to face Gossman against the Blue Jays in game one of that. Who's a righty. So I think
a likely start. Like I think the fact that we were facing a bunch of lefties against Boston, they just like, you know what? We'll see you against Toronto.
Yeah, we got a lot more righties coming. We got Patrick Corbin in the middle game of that Blue Jays series schedule, but other than that, it's kind of all righties.
Yeah.
So we'll see. The question is, who would you send down for Gavin Lux?
Yeah, that's tough.
It's probably Palacios.
It's probably Palacios. And I love Palacios, but like Palacios' role is kind of exactly what Gavin Lux is here to do. But, you know, they're paying Gavin Lux a lot more money and Richie Palacios has options. So I don't see them sending down Walls. I don't see them sending down really anybody else. Like Williamson maybe, but I don't see them sending Williamson down. I think it's going to end up being Palacios.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what Gavin Lux provides, because we did a whole breakdown when we traded for him and it seems very similar to Richie Palacios' production. Just Lux has a bit more pedigree, I suppose. Yeah. He's got feels like a bit of a like former washed prospect.
Yeah.
But we'll see what he provides. He might have something.
Yeah. And if something is what you feel like your wardrobe needs, you just haven't quite got that something in the back there. What you got to do to fix that problem is go to shop.arglorsports.com, where you can get the best merch inspired by your favorite Tampa sports teams, Rowdy Bucks, Lightning, Rays, Sun. It's all there. Shop.arglorsports.com. Get your bullpen of your wardrobe locked and loaded at shop.arbularsports.com. Use promo code Flappy, FLAPPY, 10% off your entire order there. Shop.arbularsports.com.
I tell you what, it's always a premium feeling to look great, especially when everyone else around you looks awful. And I want to talk a little bit about that. The Rays, you know, wearing their RBLR sports match, I'm sure.
Of course.
Known RBLR enjoyers, the Tampa Bay Rays.
Of course.
They look great, but partly because the Yankees and the Rays are the only two teams that are apparently trying in the American League right now.
Yeah.
I love that for us. Don't get me wrong. I'm not letting this diminish how good the Rays are. The American League sucks. let's put it this way. The Rays started the year with a 29% playoff odds, according to FanGraphs. We're now on 74%. Playoff odds. And that's went up like 30% in the past week. And that is because everyone around has just been absolutely diabolical. Who for you is the biggest kind of surprise out of the American League teams that are underperforming?
So I think it needs to be said, and I feel like I've just decided I'm just going to be done predicting because I'm apparently terrible at it. The Red Sox have exploded. And I am like, I haven't like, I'm pretty sure I picked them to win the division. I can't remember if I did or not. I'm gonna try not to.
I think I picked them to win the division.
I definitely picked them to be like decent. And that's not working out at all. They are just a disaster. They're not that much of a disaster. Like they're actually doing fine. They're 17-22. They're doing okay, but they are no longer in contention to win the division. I don't think like something dramatic would have to happen to either the Yankees or the Rays to change that. They would need to catch fire. I also think the Tigers, now obviously Scoobs being out changes that team dramatically. But even before Scoobs got injured, they were not it. And it's like the Astros, 16 wins.
I think it might be over for the Astros. I think the Astros' reign of terror is over. I think they might need to go retool.
Yeah. The Twins, like, and nobody is just like bottom.
The Twins were going to be bad. They sold the entire team at the deadline last year.
Like I don't think anybody, like the Twins and the Angels and the White Sox are like the worst of the bunch, but like nobody is like totally out of the wild card running. And that's the other thing that's weird about it, right? Is nobody is just like horrifically bad.
Yeah, they are, but nobody's out of it because they're all bad.
Exactly. And I think that that's what's more surprising. It's not so much that, you know, there's a couple of underperforming teams. It's that everybody's underperforming to begin the
year. Apart from the Rays and Yankees.
Yes. And maybe like the Cubs. Like the Cubs have had a really nice start, at least in the National League. But like there's a couple of good National League teams. So I guess we could say it that way.
The National League is like everyone's doing kind of well, except for the Mets and the Giants.
Yeah.
And the Rockies. But like everyone else is kind of all right. Like the NL Central, all of them are doing well. In the NL West, you know, the Padres and Dodgers were always going to be good. In the NL East, the Braves are kind of running away with it. The Mets are the kind of big story of how bad it's gone there. The Giants, also a bit of a firestorm going on there at the moment, trading Patrick Bailey away. But in terms of the American League, our direct competition, like for me, the Red Sox have been a big surprise. The Orioles, we might have to declare them a failed rebuild. It's kind of almost annoying how good they were in 2023 for no reason.
Yeah.
Like they won like 102 games, stopping the Rays winning the division that year, and then immediately like regressed, and now they're back at the bottom of the division again. And they were at the bottom of the division last year too. Something's gone really wrong there with the core that they put up with Gunnar and Adley and Jackson Holliday, and even like the likes of Kobe Mayo. And then like they had Kyle Stowers and traded him away, and he's now being a stud in Miami. It's like that should have been a team, and it's not.
It's just not. It's just not. And like when you look at almost every like there's a bunch of teams that are in like single or low double digit run differential, negative or positive, in the American League. So there's a bunch of teams that are just kind of like the Pythagorean win-loss records of like every team except for like the Astros and the Angels and the Orioles, who are the worst, and then the Yankees, who are just Pythagorean, right? Everybody else is like right at the same, like all, even the, like they have the Rays stacked that low, which is, by the way, why expected win-loss and like Pythagorean win-loss doesn't actually mean anything, but they have them all stacked together based on run differential. And so look, I don't really know. It's hard to know what to make of it because like part of it is still like, is it too early? Is it still so early in the season that these teams are going to figure it out? Some of them probably will. But like the question that is the most interesting to me, and we won't know this until we get closer, is how does this affect the trade deadline? Does it make everybody decide the season's not working out? We're just going to we're going to flush it and try again next year? Or is it the other way where it's like, hey, we're still in it. We're all going to go for it. And then nobody sells. I don't know which way it's going to go, but it could end up either being an absolutely insane deadline where everybody's just sort of selling because they don't feel like they've got it this year. Or it could be a year where nobody does anything and it's a dead silent deadline because everybody feels like they got a shot.
Yeah, it could go either way. It'll be interesting to see how it pans out. In terms of the Rays, still really important right now. We're in this really crazy stretch against like the East exclusively, where again, we've done a great job so far, you know, currently 4-1 against this run. And then we got the Blue Jays again, Marlins, Orioles, Yankees, Orioles.
Yep.
If you can put together a good run there, which we've already got off to a good start on, like we could, if we win today, 5-1, like that can pretty much like set you up for the playoffs by the end of May.
Yeah.
I know that sounds hyperbolic, but if you just cruise through your division and beat your division a bunch of times, like that just gives you such insane wiggle room for the rest of the season that like you can kind of play 500 ball the rest of the way.
Yeah. And I mean, that's why like, if the Orioles are struggling right now, beat them down. Don't let them get confidence. Don't let them figure themselves out. Beat them down. Get those wins. Blue Jays, same way. The Blue Jays are struggling right now. Do not let them get back up on their feet. Knock them down while they're down. Keep them down. You know, cruise over those games. Find a way to win the series at the stadium in New York. And sit, get your off day, and then go into an Angels series where, you know, maybe you can end their season early and see if they're willing to finally part with a certain outfielder that's been previously linked to the Bay.
I love that. I love that idea.
Just throwing things out. Just tossing things out.
Some great ideas.
Just some thoughts. That's all.
Yeah, just here on the Rays think tank. Speaking of
suggestions,
great things about Tampa Bay. Let's finish off with bat and arm of the week, shall we?
Let's do it.
Okay, let's do bat of the week first. And Zach, I'll let you go first. Who is our bat of the week this week?
Bat of the week has been a guy we've talked about him a bunch to begin the season, a bunch during the season, and it's a guy that whose profile is definitely a little bit different than maybe we expected it was going to be this year in just the way that he has decided to go about doing it. But this last week was kind of more of what we saw last year. And that's Jonathan Aranda. Jonathan Aranda hits to a 195 WRC plus 0.3 F4 over this last week. And he did it with a 538 on base percentage and a 500 slug. And that is more of what we saw last year, getting on base, hitting the ball decently hard, not necessarily driving the ball over the fence, no home runs this last week, but just putting the ball in play well, having a strong command of the strike zone, got the strikeouts down a little bit this last week. You know, for his standard 50% strikeout percentage for him is like, we're doing good for Aranda. Got the walks up just a little bit, but he's putting the ball in play with some pace on it, getting on base. He is becoming every week longer. He further cements himself as a core piece of this lineup, a guy that I think the Rays need to think very seriously about extending here, along with, you know, the obvious Junior Caminero. And I hope to see an extension sometime in the future because I think this guy's a core of the lineup. Had a great week last week. We need him to keep doing this if this team's going to get to where they need to go because obviously, like we've said, the rest of the team sometimes struggles offensively. He's one of the cornerstones of the team. Jonathan Aranda, bat of the week.
Yeah, I mean, come on. American League leader in RBIs as well. Like, leads the American – tied for the lead in American League for RBIs. With Aaron Judge, by the way.
Yeah.
And Jordan Alvarez. That's how productive he's been. He's been as productive in terms of just pure driving in runs perspective. Aaron Judge, Jordan Alvarez, Johnny Aranda, level pegging. And how do you feel about Jordan Alvarez and Aaron Judge? I feel pretty strongly.
Pretty good. About pretty strongly.
Being
about
good
them.
Players. Yeah. So shout out Johnny Aranda. Chandler Simpson drove in a lot of runs this week as well. I think he's worth a little mention. Up and down player. And I think his skill set will mean that his offensive production will always be a little bit up and down. But always still fun and definitely like the everyday left fielder.
Yes. I think he's earned that at this point. I don't even think there's a
his
whole
defense
lot
of... is way improved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Significantly.
Also, speaking of bats, I had a quick peek at the Caminero home run. Have you seen it?
I have not seen it yet.
It's a slider at his like shins. And he just yeets it over the monster.
Just golfs it out there.
He does just golf it out there. He must have been sitting on it.
Yeah.
Junior is insane bad ball hitter.
Yes. Like that's gotta be so frustrating as a pitcher.
Yeah, nobody pitches to him now. So he's like, fine, I'll just hit your pitches out of the zone. I'll just do that instead. Annoyingly, Valade just hit a single, but then got thrown out trying to go to second.
Valade is faster than I realized he is. And I think that, you know, other teams are starting to learn that he's got some speed to him. And I think he got away with some stuff early on. I'll be curious to see if teams are like more like, hey, this guy will go for second. He will try to stretch one.
Yeah. Well, he got caught trying to do that there. So... yeah. Let's talk about arm of the week.
Yes.
Arm of the week, again, in such a great stretch, plenty of candidates when you're pitching this well as a team. But I've decided to give it to a guy that hasn't had arm of the week in a very long time. He may not have had an arm of the week since I took over from the podcast.
Yeah, because I don't think maybe not.
I think he got Tommy John like a week after I joined the podcast. It's Shane McClanahan.
Yeah.
Sugar Shane is well and truly back. His past like three starts have been excellent. 5 2/3, no runs allowed. Struck out a bunch of guys, looked like his old self. He's pitching in a bunch of different ways. He's not like necessarily a stuff merchant now, but he is like just, he's pitching. He's really pitching, mixing and matching speeds, really leaning heavy on an elite changeup. And his fastball velo is starting to creep back up as well. The main thing is his command is getting improved with every single start as well. Because that was the main kind of struggle when he first got back. In those first couple of starts, the command was a bit iffy. His command's back now, and now he's just looking like his old self again, which is great. Is it sustainable? I don't know. But he is looking every bit of it.
Yeah, and I think what when you talk about just pitching, when you watch that start, there was a couple of sequences where you could just tell that hitters were like, I'm not seeing this ball very well. There was a couple of like really bad swings at the changeups that he was able to elicit, a couple of really nice curveballs that got some like horrendous swings. And again, it's, and the stuff on the changeup is amazing. The stuff on the other pitches has never been like out of this world, but the ability to tunnel the fastball off the changeup, the ability to mix and match with the other pitches makes him, and it all coming from the left side with some velocity on that fastball, makes him such a difficult matchup. And I think that is sustainable, specifically because he's not just thrown out of his shoes on the fastball. He's not relying on the fastball to carry him through. He is truly using that pitch mix there. And so I do think it is sustainable for him. Now the amount of innings will be interesting. I will be surprised, you know, if they let him go six too many more times, like this early in the season. It's going to probably rely a lot on pitch count for sure. But doesn't mean I'm not excited to see it when it does happen.
100%. It's good to see him back. It's good to see him firing. It's, that's the main thing, is to just see that he's managed to come back after two whole seasons and a bit. On the shelf, that he's still got it. And he's, you know, and that, you know, it's, it can never be understood how hard it is to miss that length of time and be at all productive in the major leagues, let alone good.
Yeah. And so, I mean, so excited that he's back. And we just, you know, I feel like I'm just enjoying every single start from him now.
100%. All right. I think that's a good enough amount of time to talk about the Rays for now, because we are going to go watch the Rays hopefully finish off the Red Sox after taking an early 1-0 lead. And so should you.
Yes, you should. And if you enjoyed this show and you want to know what we're going to say about that Red Sox game next week, drop us a subscribe or a follow on whatever platform you enjoy us on, so you know when we're going live, you know, when you have a chance to be a part of the conversation. So we appreciate y'all sticking with us through admittedly a pretty easy season of Rays baseball so far, but stick around, because it's only going to, I think it's only going to continue to be awesome from here. And just come back every week and celebrate a little bit of awesome Rays baseball with us. Even if it does, you know, turn back down, which I don't think it will, no matter what, it's going to be Rays up.
Rays up.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLI Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.